Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Listen Bitch podcast with your favorite podcast host and mindset coach, Brandon Lynette. Here, I'm definitely not going to sugarcoat or tiptoe. And if you're listening, you're definitely not going to wait for permission to step into your potential. If you are here to stay small, bitch, you're in the wrong room. But if you're ready to get your shit together, okay, sit down, shut up, and breathe. Real quick before I get started, I just want to tell you guys, I had this experience where I felt exhausted and inflamed and literally questioning, wondering why my body hated me for so long. I felt that mess. Then I got this Omega blood test, started taking the oil that came with it, and I found out the problem wasn't discipline. It's imbalance. So if you're listening, like, why am I doing everything and nothing is changing? It might not be you. It might be your omegas. 97% of people are imbalanced. So please test, don't guess. Get the link in my show notes, okay? And before I really get into today's episode, Listen Bitch is now open for sponsors. So if you have a product or a service or a mission that helps people and doesn't suck, hit me up, okay? Let's get your name in front of the most unfiltered, Jesus-loving, purpose-driven listeners on the internet, okay? Wow, I just want to say it's been a minute since I recorded solo for Listen Bitch. I've had some interviews and I would love some feedback on how that's going. I feel like the guests have been incredible. Great stories. I feel like we align on a lot of things. So I hope it's been a fun break from me a little, just you guys got to hear the same shit I say, like from a different voice. So I hope that helps you. But today I really just want to talk about living intentionally and kind of take you guys through my journey to that present moment awareness, because I think it is super important, you know, like just to even ask yourself right now, who am I in this moment? Because you are not just the sum of your roles. I am not just a wife and a mother and a content creator and an entrepreneur. I am a woman created with divine purpose, like a calling, standing at the intersection of chaos and my purpose with God. So when I ask myself, like, who am I in the present moment? I'm learning to answer truthfully. I am whoever God needs me to be right now, not who I was yesterday when I lost my patience, when we were doing some math, not who I'm going to be tomorrow when the podcast interview goes live. Right now, I am a child of the King, fully present in this ordinary moment. And the shift happens when I stop identifying with that performance and I start identifying in my present. Like, I'm not the mom who successfully homeschools six kids. I'm the mom who is currently sitting, you know, with a fifth grader noticing the way her eyebrows scrunch up when she's concentrating, feeling the weight of her trust in me as a teacher. That's who I would be in that present moment. You guys, intentional living means that you recognize the moment. Like, this exact breath I'm taking is the only moment where God's will can actually be lived out. This is not some, you know, future achievement that I'm building towards. Yesterday, I'm making dinner and I'm listening to one of the podcast audios, mentally drafting the social media caption to promote this and trying to think of the TikTok script to be able to do this, half listening to the kids tell me about whatever they're doing on Minecraft. So I'm like physically present, but I'm still absent. And I'm not focused on what's happening at dinner. And I'm feeling that overwhelm. And I don't know what I've added to dinner, what ingredients missing, what I still need to do, because I'm on autopilot. And then you know what my kids end up telling me? Never mind, mom, you're just on your phone, because she could feel my divided attention. Even when my phone's far away on the counter, headphones in my ears, they feel that. And I felt the weight of that lately. Living intentionally means I have to make the conscious choice. Like right now, I am making dinner. My hands are in the ground beef, right? I smell the onions. I hear the sizzle. So when my kid is talking, I can turn my face fully towards her. I could pause the podcast and I can listen to the importance of what her words are, because in that moment, like, that's God speaking through her to me. Her need for my attention is my calling in that instant. And that being in this present moment of recording the podcast And, you know, even just having my son cook dinner tonight, like I am half thinking, like, is he good? Does he need some help? Do I need to make sure he doesn't leave the burner on unattended? But then I just take a deep breath and I come back to the focus of what I'm doing. The, you know, we have to recognize that the present moment is the only place where you can actually love and serve people, where you can actually serve God and be obedient. That's how you fulfill your purpose. Everything else is just like a mental dress rehearsal or mental regret, neither of which God is a part of. And this is a part of everything in your life. So when I'm doing school with the girls, instead of racing through curriculum because I'm anxious about falling behind, I notice, you know, when my 11-year-old is suddenly starting to understand fractions and she doesn't need the help. Like I watch the light come into her eyes. I watch my 7-year-old, you know, read big words today. And I see that shift of like she's actually becoming a reader and she gets excited when I encourage her. You know, those that 15 seconds when I can see them, when I could see those girls, and I could say, you got it. Look at how your brain just made that connection, or you're doing so good. That's a big word. That's where eternity breaks into time. Like that's where my intentional presence shapes not just their basic skills, but like their sense of being valued and of being known. God's purpose for me in that moment with them isn't to finish the lesson plan. It's to mirror how he sees my girls. You know, when I'm recording the podcast, you know, when I'm writing content, am I really there or am I worried about, you know, downloading numbers or the TikTok promos or comparing myself to other influencers already planning next week's content and I'm barely getting down to today's? Intentional living means I'm fully present with my message and you as my listener. Like I want to continue to be present and speak to you like you're at your kitchen table at 10 p.m. and I'm giving you this attention the same way that I would give to you if you were sitting across the table from me. And I feel that. I've heard that in your guys' response and in your feedback for the podcast. Like you feel like I'm talking to you, and that's because I am intentional in that moment, even if I have to draw myself back when my brain decides to wander. And it's not an angry drawback. It's just like, oh, you're worried about your son cooking sloppy joes tonight, right? Just come back. We're doing the podcast. But the content that I create, the things that I create from being present in that moment are the most powerful things that come out of me. And I see that in the reflection of where it goes and the feedback that I get. That's it. There is an anointing on that. And the content that I create from anxiety, like, yeah, you could see my fingerprints all over it, but you know what you can't see is God's hand in it ever, you know? And it's that intention of like, even when you're married, you know, my husband is getting ready for work and I'm in the middle of scheduling and social media posts. I just finished recording and, you know, I would just be like, hey, babe, just old me, hey, babe, without looking up, just me finishing one more thing, just one more thing. That intentional version of myself recognizes that this is really a sacred moment for him. And this is going to determine kind of, it sets the tone for his mood. You know, he's just waking up and I'm going to be, that's that one moment that we have in our lives to cross paths before he is stuck at work, right? Not his favorite place to be, but where he's there, you know, I'm very intentional now. I leave my office. I put everything down. I go out there. You know, I ask him how work was last night, how he slept, and I give him that time and attention for him to be able to respond. And we have this intentional time. Unfortunately, we've kind of lacked a little bit. My schedule got a little crazy, but I reined it back in. So we have this intentional time before he actually has to get up for work, where it's just him and I for a good hour, just talking about how his night went, how my day with the kids went, and like that connection, being in that present moment. You know, making the eye contact. If it's very important, you guys, I'm saying even if you have 30 seconds to make eye contact and practice that presence, that will alter the intimacy of your marriage. You know, I know that when my husband leaves, he feels loved, he feels valued, he feels pursued. He feels like I want to be in his presence. And that's a huge reflection of how God wants to be in our lives. And I used to think that living intentionally meant like some massive spiritual overhaul, right? But I've discovered that it's simpler and harder than that. It's like the in-between moments. You know, it's when I close my laptop and I walk out of my office into the laundry room, you know, or pulling into the parking lot at the grocery store, putting down my phone to be present with my kids before bed, you know, finish recording and before I check analytics. These transitional moments are where I've learned to take the one conscious breath and ask myself, like, what am I about to do and why am I doing it? So before I open Facebook or Instagram, I pause for a couple seconds and I say, am I going here with purpose or am I going here for escape? And I think that's a very important question you need to be asking yourself. That tiny moment of intention changes everything. Sometimes I still open it, absolutely, to deliberately escape. But sometimes I still open it deliberately to engage with my community. But what is the balance there? Like, are you really trying to numb out or are you going to choose differently? And it's with the kids, you know, when I get a chance, sometimes they wake up before I come home and it's not the same. But when I come home in the mornings and I wake them up, you know, we have centering moments. Like we stretch, we breathe, we talk about their dreams, we snuggle, and I can look at them, you know, God gave us this day. What are we going to do with it? And I notice those days when we relax and we breathe before we start, you know, my 11-year-old specifically is less aggressive. She gets frustrated with routine. She gets frustrated with just the everyday sometimes, you know, and it's really good because every time we're intentional in that moment, they're there and they're focused. You know, God does not exist in the future and he does not exist in the past. He exists in the internal now. And every time scripture records God speaking, he is speaking in the present tense. You guys know how powerful the words I am are. I am. He's not like I was or I will be. So when I'm mentally time traveling, rehearsing tomorrow's podcast, going over interview questions, ruminating on yesterday's failed business launch, anxious about next year's curriculum, I'm literally absent from the only place where I can actually encounter God. And I cannot fulfill his purpose for me in any moment that I'm not actually in. I want to make this concrete. Last month, I was so consumed with strategizing how to monetize everything that's happening in my life that I missed critical moments in my personal life, you know, and with my kids as well. Moments where I've just been so preoccupied that, you know, 3 days have gone by and I could tell something is bothering my son and I haven't had a conversation about it. You know, the present moment version of me would have noticed on day one. Distracted, future focused version of me doesn't notice until there's a breakdown and everybody's crying, right? When I am not present, I miss those divine appointments hidden in ordinary moments. I miss God's whisper that says, you know, pray for your husband right now because, you know, he's sitting in the car dealing with something hard that I don't even know about. Or, you know, I miss the way my six-year-old is trying, seven, she's seven now, sorry about that, trying to show me affection in her language. I miss the idea God wants me to have for content that I provide, not because I'm strategizing, but because I'm present enough to hear him. And this is what I've learned. God's big purpose for my life is actually made up of 10,000 small present moments of faithfulness. And I probably used to think this like a month ago. I used to think his purpose was something future and grand, build a platform, impact thousands, create a ministry empire. And maybe those things are part of it. But I've really discovered that obsessing over the destination of God's will made me completely miss the experience of what he's calling me to. And that's only going to happen in the now. When I'm recording from a place of presence, not performance, not posturing, but genuinely present to the message that God has given me, my voice changes. And I know that you guys have felt the shift in there. You could feel the difference when I'm present to one of my kids' hard day, instead of mentally drafting content about parenting, I'm actually being the mother that God designed me to be, not the mother, you know, who performs on social media. And here's the shift. I've stopped asking, what is God's grand purpose for my life? And instead, this is the question that is setting the tone for my now. What is God's specific purpose for me in this very moment? And the answer is always available. Love the person in front of you. Do the next right thing with full attention. And be here now, because here now is the only place that transformation happens. And I'm juggling 6 kids, 3 podcasts, content creation, marriage, homeschool. But like, imagine for a moment that every ball I'm juggling has a name. The old me would try to keep my eyes on all the balls at once. And I would panic, anticipating which one's going to fall next. I was never looking at the ball in my hands. I was always worried about the ones in the air. The intentional me. And what I've learned is that I can only touch one ball at a time. I used to practice juggling. I had a friend like every day before school, and like he was a clown and would juggle all the time. And I tried to teach myself. I couldn't do it because I was so worried about those balls in the air. I've never understood how people could juggle. In fact, I probably should practice now that I'm learning. Now that, you know, I could say Zayden is in my hands. I'm not looking at the podcast ball or the Instagram ball or the Facebook ball or my husband's ball. I'm here with her now. Then I release her with that love and that trust, and I catch the next ball fully presently. And the miracle is that when I'm fully present to one thing at a time, fewer balls fall on the floor. I'm actually there when I'm there. And my presence with each thing is total, even if it's brief. And every morning, I'm going to tell you guys, every morning before you check your phone, sit with your hot tea or whatever it is, and just pray like 5 present moment prayers. You know, it is 3 intentional things is, you know, that I talk about God with, like, what do I need help with today? What do I need to give you today? And what do you want me to focus on today? God, help me be where my feet are. It's very intentional that you ask him to let me see my children as you see them in every moment. Let my work flow from presence, not anxiety. Help me notice when I'm time traveling and bring me back. And let me trust that this moment is exactly where I need to be. And then set an alarm 3 times a day, set an alarm. When it goes off, wherever you are, stop what you're doing and take 3 conscious breaths and ask yourself, where am I? What am I doing? Am I really here? That simple practice has been more transformative than any productivity system that anyone's ever given me, than any content bullshit strategy, than any parenting book. Because the truth is, the life that you're looking for isn't waiting for you in some future achievement. It is here now in this moment. And this moment, and this moment. And I know what you're dealing with. I know you're exhausted. You fell asleep with your phone in your hand last night, scrolling through Instagram, comparing your chaotic Monday to someone else's highlight reel. You woke up this morning already behind. You're mentally running through everything that you didn't finish yesterday and everything waiting for you today. You haven't even gotten out of bed yet and you're already anxious. Your nervous system is freaking the fuck out, fight or flight. And I get there. I've been there. And actually, I still am there some mornings. I don't want you guys to think that this is a perfect practice that I have down. But this is what I want you, this is what I really want you to know. Intentional living isn't about adding more to your plate. It's about actually taking the time to taste what's already on it. And I know this is going to feel hard, but I want you to stay with me for a second. For the next 7 days, I want you to try something. And I know I've said this before, you guys, and maybe it didn't hit right because I just feel like this has to be said again. I want you to wake up and not touch your phone for the first 30 minutes after you wake up. I know. I know you're already thinking, but I need to check if anyone messaged me. But I use my phone for my Bible app. But what if there's an emergency? Listen, unless you are, let's say, an ER doctor on call, there's no emergency that can't wait 30 minutes. And we both know that the Bible app excuse is often just that. It's an excuse to grab the phone and accidentally check everything else. Here's what I want you to do instead. And I really want you to pick 3 of these and stick with it. Sit in silence with your tea or coffee or whatever it is that you drink for 5 minutes. Just sit. Like, feel the warmth of your mug. Listen to the sounds of your house waking up. Let your mind wander wherever it wants to go without trying to fix or plan anything. I'm not talking about meditation. I'm talking about just being in that moment without your phone. Write three things in a journal. What do I need to let go of from yesterday? What is my one priority today? And what is one way I want to show up for my family today? And I'm not talking about performance. I'm talking about actually showing up. And do this. Pray out loud while you're getting ready. You know, talk to God like he's your best friend standing there while you brush your teeth. Like, God, I am tired today. Those are my exact words to him this morning. God, I'm tired today. Help me get down and get dressed and get in the car. I don't want to yell at my kids today. Help me see them with your eyes. That thing with my husband yesterday, I need your wisdom on how to approach it. How do I make him feel better? How do I, you know, show up for him? Do one small physical thing that is just for you. Stretch for 3 minutes, step outside, feel the air in your face, dance to one song in your kitchen. Your body is not just a vehicle for productivity. This is your home. When is the last time you were just in your body and experiencing that? Look at your kids before they look at you. If you wake up before them, peek in their rooms, watch them sleep for 30 seconds. They are people, not projects. If they wake before you, when they run into your room, make eye contact before you speak. Really see their faces. Smile at them like they're the answer to a prayer, because you know they are. And here's the thing. The first few mornings, you're going to feel like a twitchy crackhead. Okay. Your brain is going to scream at you about everything you should be doing. And that's normal. That's literally just your nervous system detoxing from the dopamine hits. I want you to push through it. By day 7, something is going to shift. You're going to notice that you feel more grounded when the chaos starts. You're going to notice you're in your morning instead of rushing through it to get to some imaginary start of your day. And the game changer, especially for my busy moms, okay, between every activity transition in your day, I want you to take one intentional breath. And this is what I mean. Like, maybe you have a brand new baby, you're nursing her and you're about to put her down. I want you to take one big breath before you grab your phone to check your messages and breathe and ask yourself, what am I about to do next and why? You close the lid on your laptop after working. I want you to take one deep breath. I want you to feel your shoulders and I want you to notice the tension. I want you to consciously release it and say it out loud. I'm done with work now. I'm moving into family time. That one is very important for me, and I promise it has shifted my mood incredibly. You park the car at the grocery store, one breath before you unbuckle and go into task mode. Sit and say, I'm here now. This is what I'm doing. Let me be present to it. Maybe you finish cleaning up lunch, one breath before you rush to the next thing. Pause. Look around your kitchen. Notice one thing that you're grateful for. Touch the counter. Be there. Your husband walks in the door. You know, one breath, stop what you're doing, even if you're not finished, and turn towards him. Let your face show that you're happy he's home. And I know this sounds so simple, it almost sounds stupid. I know that's what you're thinking. Like, this sounds so stupid. I promise you, this one breath practice between transitions is how you stop living on autopilot. And a lot of us, we do this, we speed from one thing to the next without ever actually landing anywhere. We're like planes constantly circling but never touching down. And that one breath is your landing gear. It brings you back to earth, back to now, back to your presence. And let's be honest, your phone is stealing your presence. I know, because mine does too. We need practical systems to interrupt the scroll. Meals should be phone-free zones, not on the table, not in your lap, not just checking real quick. Especially if you're eating with your kids, and I don't get to do this very often, but your phone should be in another room, period. That should be a non-negotiable if you actually want to be present. When we have a family day every 2 weeks, mandatory, everybody gets together, and it is a no-phone zone when we eat. And it is a non-negotiable, but everybody is present. That's it. And other people are going to notice. People are going to test you. You guys should call each other out when you break the rule. Good. Let's do that. The hour before bed is a no phone zone. After whatever your schedule is, 9 p.m., your phone goes on the charger somewhere outside your bedroom. I do need the alarm, so mine actually goes on a dresser far away across from my bed. Like, I have to get out of bed to actually turn off my alarm. Don't bring your phone to bed. Don't just check one more thing. This is your quiet time, your reading time, your actual rest time. DMs and comments are going to be there in the morning, I promise. I know when I'm working with the girls, my phone can't be in my hand because I'll be on it constantly the whole time they're talking. Even if my phone is silenced and face down, it's not enough. It has to be in the other room because they deserve my full presence. And if maybe you're in a creative work block, same thing. When I'm recording a podcast, when I remember, I have to turn off the do not disturb or whatever that is. I turn that on so there's no messages coming through and I can be here. How many times have you guys listened to a podcast where I'm like, oh, someone just texted me and I totally lose my train of thought. I'm not in that present moment. I'm just getting alert after alert after alert. I'm not present and the message gets lost. I know that. I'm not dumb. But it's important. You cannot go deep and have present work with interruptions every 3 minutes. You just can't. You just can't. Set your phone to automatically go into do not disturb during these times. Use the focus modes. Don't rely on willpower. Okay. I promise you, you have to create the little systems that are going to help you make the right choice and have that be the easy choice. And this one really, when someone in your family is talking to you, stop what you're doing and look at their face. Not a glance, not a keep doing what you're doing while you're half listen. Look, like actually stop and turn your body towards them and make eye contact. And I started practicing with my kids and it does get hard. There's times where I zone out, they're talking about something and I'm just like daydreaming and I just automatically pick up my phone and I'm kind of scrolling. And I'm like, oh, that was great, baby. No. Or, you know, I'm washing dishes and someone is talking to me and I just want to keep doing the work and just be like, oh, that's really cool. But like the times that I make myself stop, when I put down the plate, when I turn around, when I get on her level, when I look in his eyes, you know what happens? The stories get shorter because they feel heard faster. Okay. Is that my parenting hack? So you don't have to hear hours and hours of Minecraft, maybe. But they're not having to repeat themselves. Or, you know, my seven-year-old escalates to get my attention and then she gets mad and then doesn't want to tell me anymore. And honestly, I replay those times and they break my heart. That's it. These kids want you to look at them when they talk. And they've told me plenty of times that they've been noticing I wasn't. So I want you guys to practice this for the next week. Every time your kid or your husband speaks, I want you to stop and make eye contact. I don't care if you're in the middle of something. Stop, look, and listen. And I want you to see what happens. You're going to be amazed at how much this one small practice changes the emotional temperature of your home, literally. And before you go to sleep, while you're getting ready for bed, ask yourself these questions, you know, have a mental checklist. When was I the most present today? And maybe it was reading the book to your kids. Maybe it was the conversation with your friend. Maybe it was 5 minutes of prayer. Notice it and celebrate it. When did I check out? Ask yourself this and be honest. What, you know, was it when you scrolled Instagram instead of playing with the kids? Was it when you were physically at dinner, but mentally planning tomorrow? And I'm not shaming you because I do it. It's just an awareness now. What is one thing I can do tomorrow to be more present? And then just pick one thing, not 10, bitch. Okay, one. Maybe it's putting your phone in a drawer during breakfast. Maybe it's taking a walk outside between work sessions. Maybe it's actually listening when your husband's telling you about his day. And write these down if you can. There is something powerful about seeing your patterns over time. When you catch yourself spiraling into anxiety about the future, or maybe you're just ruminating on the past, you need a way to pull yourself back into the now. So use these phrases and I want you to say them out loud. You know, I tell myself this constantly because you guys have been around long enough. You know, anxiety and I are close friends. Right now in this moment, I am safe. I am exactly where I need to be right now. Tell yourself this moment right now is enough. I can only do what I could do right now. I can only do what's in front of me. God's in this moment with me. And put these on a sticky note. I did an interview. Did you guys listen to that interview yesterday? I believe it came out. I did remember I need to put these construction paper notes all over my house again. It worked for me once and there was a huge transformation in my life. And then I just kind of figured I didn't need them anymore because everything worked. But we start to get complacent and I feel like they are so important. You guys, my house looked ridiculous and it's about to look ridiculous again. Okay. But put these notes down so you see them so that maybe when anxiety hits, you could just read those out loud. Let it bring you back to practice. You cannot live intentionally if you never stop. You need a day of rest. And it's been hard for me. It is hard for me because Sundays are like family day, couch day, where my husband and I watch a movie and like I have to sit still and be present. And you guys, it drives me nuts because there is so much to do in here. So it's been a couple weeks now where I've had to intentionally rewire my brain to be able to just sit in that present moment. You know, it's, listen, God commanded rest for a reason. You know, and it's not because he's mean, it's because he knows us. He knows who we are. So I'm saying one day a week, practice that, practice what he called Sabbath. And I don't mean catch up on laundry. I don't mean catch up on dishes. Even my husband, you know, I miss housework a lot because of everything I'm doing during the week. And I'll be like, oh, I just have to catch up on this stuff. And he's like, it'll be here tomorrow. It'll be there, you guys. It is family day is family day. It's not catch up on laundry day. You know, there's no content creation. There's no checking my analytics. There's no working on the business. There's no comparison scrolling. There's no posting. Everything is dated to post automatically. No productivity. Instead, play a board game with your kids without checking the time. That's number one family day. And we love it. I mean, we laugh until half of us pee our pants. That's a confession, too much information, whatever. It's a great time. Do something like taking a nap without guilt, you know? Have a long conversation with your spouse. Read a book that's not for work. Bake something just because it's fun. Or maybe sit outside and watch your kids play. That is not laziness. That is not wasting time. This is practicing presence. This is remembering that you're a human being, not a human doing. Okay? This rest is going to teach your nervous system that you're safe even when you're not producing. It teaches you that your worth isn't tied to your output. It reminds you that God's got this. And there is that good enough mantra. Okay? Perfectionism is absolutely the enemy of presence. When you're obsessing over whether the homeschool lesson was rigorous enough or the podcast episode was polished enough or whether the house is clean enough or whether you're being a good enough wife, you're not present. You're performing for some imaginary audience or standard. So I want you to start saying this out loud, especially when you feel that perfectionism creeping in. This is good enough. I am good enough. This moment is enough. Your kids do not need Pinterest perfect homeschool. They need a mom who's actually there with them, who sees them, even in the messy lessons. And I know that my audience doesn't need flawless content. You need authentic. You need presence. You just need that consist, you know, me showing up consistently. Your husband doesn't need a perfect wife. He needs a present partner. Done and present is better than perfect and distracted. Done and present is better than perfect and distracted. And I'm going to be honest, you guys. You're going to fuck this up. You're going to fuck this up. Listen, bitch, I'm going to be really honest with you. You're going to hear all of this. You're going to feel super motivated. You're probably even going to try it for 2 days, and then you're going to have a day where you completely blow it. You're going to yell at your kids. You're going to scroll for hours. You're going to miss every single transition breath. You'll be mentally somewhere else all day. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that you failed. This means that you're human. So this is going to be what you do. You notice it because that is growth right there. You're aware now. You take a breath, you forgive yourself immediately, and you start again in the very next moment. Do not wait until tomorrow to start over. Start over right now. This isn't about being perfect at presence. It's about practicing it. And some days you're going to be really present, and some days you won't. And both days are very important to your journey. The goal is just never to drift off. The goal is to notice when you've drifted and just come back again and again and again and again. Do you understand? That's the practice. So I know I gave you guys a lot, and I don't want you to try to do all of it because that's the opposite of intentional living. That is just literally more overwhelm. So that's what I want you to do this week. I want you to pick the two practices, okay? Maybe the morning phone boundary, maybe that transition breath, the one phone down zone per day, eye contact when your family is talking to you, you know, do the evening three question review, pick two. That's it. And I want you to practice those for 7 days and see what shifts. And then next week, add more if you want. One more, slow and steady, small and consistent. That is how transformation happens. The present moment is not another thing on your to-do list. It is the place where your actual life is happening. Like your kids are growing up right now. Your marriage is being built or neglected right now. Your relationship with God is alive or dormant right now. Your purpose is being fulfilled or you're missing it right now. Not someday when you have it all together. Not when the kids are older or when you've reached your goals. It is right now, this moment, this beautiful, messy, ordained, sacred, ordinary moment. Be here, my friend. Your life is waiting for you, not in the future, but like right here, right now. And I'm always going to be cheering you on. You've got this, one breath, one moment, one day at a time. So I want you guys to close out on this. I want you to put your phone down and I want you to go be exactly where your feet are. I love you guys.